Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family, and welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney Show. Today is Sunday, July 7th, 2013. We have a very exciting show for you tonight. Our special guest is Major Bernard Dell, and I will be introducing him a little later and read a little bit of his bio and let you know who he is and let him speak on what he's doing. And as you know, we have our host, Yaye Feeney. At this time, I would like to say welcome, Yaye Feeney, and welcome, family. Please don't forget, you can go into our chat room as well as use the call-in number to call in. At this time, Yaye Feeney, I want to ask that you do a brief meditation for us.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Rumi, for the work that you continuously do, and thank you, Major Bernadette. I'm going to do a brief meditation for us to calm. I'm going to do a meditation in my latest CD that is available, of course, on my website, dedicated to the healing energy of the Divine Mother Yemonja. I want you to just relax. Close your eyes. And allow your breathing. Take you to a very safe and loving place. Just breathe in slowly. Breathe out all the tensions of the day, nice and slow. Breathe in. Yale. Okay, whenever you're ready, just open your eyes and just allow yourself to become present with your thoughts and your person and your listening to this wonderful show. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Okay.
That was
welcome
great.
Back.
Thank you. Thank you. I always tell you that I love your meditations that you do before the show. It puts the right spirit on the show, and I really
like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, family, again, welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney Show. Feel free to go to the chat room, and that way you can type in your message there. And I would like to welcome the guests that we have in the chat room at this time. And also, family, you can call in with any questions or comments, or you could just call in to listen. The call-in number is 310-742-1887. Again, that's 310-742-1887. And thank you, family, for joining us. I see that we have several callers on the line. Please remember to press the number 1 if you would like to speak. At this time, again, I would like to say welcome, Major Bernadelle. And welcome
thank you
to
so
our
much.
Show.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm going to read a little bit, just something very brief about you, and then I want you to speak on it, and I'll have a question for you in just a moment. Okay, family. Major Bernadelle was born in Haiti, where he completed his primary and secondary schooling in the Institute of St. Louis de Gonzaga. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Thank you. He immigrated to the United States in 1975 and soon joined the United States Army. He retired as a major from the U.S. military in 1997 after 22 years of worldwide sensitive military assignments, which included such positions as attaché militaire in Haiti and Mozambique. That's just to touch on a little bit of his history, a little bit of his background, and what he has done. Major Bernadelle, I would like you to add to that. And also, I understand that you have a couple of schools that are opening in Florida. You know, you can touch a little bit or more on your background, and then let us know, give the family some information about the schools that you are opening in Florida.
Thank you so much, Yefini, and I want to take this opportunity to say good hello to the members of the family that are present here with us, that are listening to the Ask Yefini show. It's an honor for me to be invited to participate in this evening in this evening show. As you mentioned into the bio that you've read, I've spent some 22 years as an officer in the United States military, retired with an honorable discharge after having served at a number of positions worldwide assignment. And when I retired, I came into Florida, and one of the things that I observed immediately and something that was very prevalent in my observation worldwide is the level of education here when I came in was not what it was intended to be when education was supposed to be all open and equal for everyone. In 1997, when I came here, the level of education for minorities and people of African ancestry were not very, very good. And today is still abysmally low. Because I was born into Haiti and I had this distinction of coming into Florida, where they have quite a number of immigrants from from Haiti. I took it upon myself to observe and to see that close to 70% of young people of Haitian ancestry were not graduating from high school. And that number have not changed significantly ever since. And in form of African American, the numbers were compellingly high, around 58%. And therefore, those were very bothersome numbers, because in my travel throughout the world with the United States military, I did observe that the dividing line between have and have not too often were along the line of people that had or did not have opportunity for access to education. And again, when we talk about education, we're not just talking simply about going to school, but we are talking about school that had unsafe learning environment, a school that were overcrowded, a school where the policies of the administration did not support the student. The view on discipline policy was completely different. Many times in those schools, students felt targeted by those policy. The policy were not engaging, did not welcome them, did not take into consideration their own family life and the places where they came from. The research strategies which brought us those education policy were such that the scholars that were part of the strategy were very distant from the people that they were studying and the people they pretend to help. And so we noticed all of this thing, and I decided to open some school in the state of Florida, and with a number of community partners, we set about to open the Toussaint Louverture Charter School, and we opened school in the Port St. Lucie in Fort Pierce, and pretty soon we want to open a different similar school from middle school to high school in Broward County, in Miami-Dade, in Tallahassee, in Orlando, Tampa, everywhere where we have concentration of young African-American from Caribbean ancestry. And again, those schools are open to the public. They take any and all kind of students, and the only aspect of the school is that you have to be living into the county where the school is presently located. So in some sense, education, as I get out of the United States military, was my passion and something that I took from my mom and my dad, who themselves were teachers in Haiti from the time that I can remember they were associated with school.
Okay. Family, I would like to apologize. Yaya Feeney had me so excited about our guests and everything. I didn't mention the name of the show today. The show is Concepts in Education, a Critical Dialogue on Youth, Social Justice, Art, and Humanity. Thank you very much, Major Bernadelle. Yaya Feeney, would you like to give the family a little bit of information and insight on our topic tonight?
Yes. Thank you again, Ruby, and thank you, Major Bernadette. I was so excited about the show today, because when I met Major, it was like a breath of fresh air, because I saw in him and I connected to the passion that he has for doing things that makes a difference. Everyone can talk about what's wrong with our community and the things that we have, the challenges we have. But when you have someone that has taken upon himself to be motivated by what is going on and to move to action, that's the thing that I love. That's the thing that moves me into just, I said, you have to be on my show. You have to be, because as a youth, as a child, I came to this country and I experienced some of the things that the children are at the Toussaint Louverture school that I visited when I met Major Bernadelle. I met Major when we had the ancestral celebration here in May for the 1928 hurricane burial site, and he came and with a friend of mine that I've known for years, and Marguerite Armand, and his energy was just so easy to speak to. His energy was so warm and inviting. It was very, very nice to connect. But when we started speaking, I was like, oh my gosh, people of like minds, of like spirits. I was so grateful, because I've been feeling kind of like, well, I don't know, where are those who have the same passion? Where are those who are not just talking but are actually doing it? Where are those that can inspire me not to give up? Because, you know, you always need that fire around you, or that air around you, or that breath that encourages you to move to another level. And so it was very refreshing to me, Major. As I said, I came to this country when I was 13 years old, and when I came, I, like many immigrant teenagers, found it challenging, you know, to fit in addition to having to learn the English language
to speak. I spoke it, but not to read or to write it. I couldn't read or write it. And I had to try to navigate, you know, the complicated terrain of finding in, fitting in with my peers and being accepted, you know. And through, on the surface, I was doing it. But deep inside, I was very, very conflicted because I wanted to be an American. I wanted to forget about my Panamanian roots because it wasn't cool. In the United States, you know, we have a calabash of many different cultures, languages, and beliefs. Especially here in Florida, but all over the United States, because there's so many people who come from a variety of cultural backgrounds. Schools are challenged with the task of breaking down the barriers of language and culture that may potentially separate the students from each other. At the same time, they must find ways to honor the diversity and unique cultures and the value that each student brings. And sometimes the classrooms are so overcrowded that you get lost in the mix if you're not either acting out, yelling out, or just exceptionally brilliant. So the child that's just average gets lost in the shuffle. You know, students may feel the pressure of trying to be assimilated and to be cool while at school, and then when you go home, when they go home, they find themselves having to readjust and come back to the family and the culture. And so for many students who come from cultures within the African diaspora, they find that difficulty by trying to assimilate. And so in high school, they have little clubs and little cliques to support the culture, but at the same time, it's a challenge because the children have to try to be cool and then go home and be whatever their background is and then assimilate with that. And then they start having problems at home because they follow the things, many of the things that the guidelines that we have. I have examples on television where the children are answering their parents any kind of way that they feel like it. Sometimes the parents have to take a back seat to the children, and the children become in control. And so the parents who are coming from a different culture find that their children become belligerent, disrespectful, and that type of thing, and there comes a conflict. Then you have children who are dropping out because they're not understood. They're placed in the special ed classes like I was. And you have to constantly be fighting to be heard or to be seen. So when I heard Dr. Bernadette, I keep calling him Dr. Major Bernadette, well, he is a doctor. He's curing and helping to heal.
Yeah.
I find it such a vital breath of fresh air, but a drink of water for me, because I've been here in West Palm Beach for a year now, and somehow I have not found my niche, my place in terms of the massive amount of work that I have, things that I have to offer. Somehow I have not found that support here in West Palm. And when I met you, it was like, okay, maybe there is a place. Maybe there's some way that I will be able to refresh my spirit and not feel that maybe there was maybe it wasn't the right place for me to come to make a difference. Because I have so many gifts and talents, and the passion that I have is to share and to have this ability, you know, embraced.
Yes.
And so thank you again for being on this show, Major Joseph Bernadette. May your ancestors, your mom, your dad bless you and continue to empower you and to strengthen you, that you keep the passion alive to help those who still are carrying the banner but sometimes get tired. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much also, Yefini. When people ask me at times the source of my passion, I go back to my mother, which was a powerful woman, and I've been blessed in my life to be in the company of powerful women. When Dr. Margaret Armour, one of our most important women in our community, talked to me about you, she said, I'm going to really take you to meet a powerhouse of a woman in Palm Beach. And when I met you, I can tell you she was not, she was right, because the impression that you left on me and the sentiment that I felt and experienced during the event for the celebration recently left me very marked and desiring to be also in a coalition with you for the purpose of educating all of our people. So the feeling was mutual, and today I thank you for the great honor that you've given me to participate into the show with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So now we just want you to move forward, and this is a family. This is an open forum that you will be able to speak, and we will have our listeners join in whenever they have a question or they want to add a comment. Ruby is a wonderful person. She's been in support. As a matter of fact, this month celebrates that we have been doing the show for 1 year.
Yay!
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, so this is a great anniversary for us, because this was the purpose of this show, was to have a forum where we can stay in communication and empower each other and strengthen each other in the things that we're doing to make a difference in the world for all people.
Yes.
And so this is our anniversary show, so it is really a pleasure to have you here on this show. So thank you so much. And
yes,
for, according to the archives, we have had 36,000 people who are listeners and followers of this show. So I am so grateful for this medium.
This is phenomenal. Upon receiving your invitation, I took the liberty to disseminate this information to a wide network of friends, families, and people that I'm in contact with. So I'm hoping the small numbers of people that we've been able to bring will continue to contribute and to add to the audience of your show in order to amplify the reach and the significance. Because today, as we talk about education, and we sit and hear people say, well, but I thought that there were schools in almost every part of the land. There are schools in every city. Kids have places to go that they refer to as school. And truly, the public education was, at its inception, supposed to bring in this kind of togetherness into this act that we call the learning of democracy, where everyone was supposed to be equally served by the effort of everyone else in order to bring the society as a whole together. But very soon, we found out that public education really was not, while it may have been intended for this general sense of equality, but it contained a tremendous amount of inequality, not only into the funding that were not similar for different schools, but access to different school facility, access to students that will have qualified teaching staff. And then more, typically for us Caribbean blacks, we found out that many of the schools were not culturally and linguistically responsive with any curricula that truly prepared us. And we felt that we were left behind into the... And we started realizing perhaps it was deliberate. And while we maybe wanted to say we had a Brown versus the Board of Education that had brought equality of education to all, but we found out that the people who was in our political system and into our economic system that were supposed to be using education as it was intended for even access to all with quality education. Today we have schools that in our minority community that don't have enough books for students to take home and study. There is also another dimension of this issue now, the technical divide that is affecting a lot of our young people. So education is far from being equal, and the effort that we are making on a daily basis is to make us become aware that it is too important. I remember a great American a statement who said it's harder to fix broken men or women than to just save young people. So our concentration is on our youth from preschool all the way to elementary school, middle school, high school, to give them the opportunity to have programs that can that can prepare them for college, that can educate to them. What is the requirement for graduation, and how do you meet those requirements? We want to spend time to have academic counseling that can improve the opportunity for those kids to have a graduation victory. We don't want to make it harder for them. We want to make it easier for them. Now, we want education to be rigorous. We don't want to be giving them classes that are diluted and kind of the soft bigotry of low expectation. This is not what we're promoting. We're promoting college preparatory course with qualified teaching staff, improve academic counseling and culturally relevant social studies class, where the heritage of all of us can become part of the pride and the learning process that can guarantee or at least secure a greater graduation rate for all of our people.
Yes. Very, 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 very powerful, because we are failing. The educational system today, it's not failing, it's just it's been outgrown. It's outgrown.
It's
original intention. It's outgrown, and for us to change it, it has to be, each one of us has to take responsibility, not only to be a voice of change, but to actually act on that knowledge and act on that information. Continue.
Yes, and we do find, and later on in the show, I hope some of the listeners may be engaging us into the discussion. What then is the plan of action? In the United States military, we have a document called a campaign document. Whatever it is that we are intending to do to promote the interests of the system here, we devise a campaign plan that had clear objective, the source of the resources that we needed for that to happen, and some objective that we had secure from the policy of the people who wanted to see those things happen. It is no different than the education.
Could you state that again? What's the name of the policy?
It's called a campaign plan. To make a campaign, in order to prepare a campaign. It's a document that lists very clearly what are the steps to follow in order to get to a desired objective. Because none of these things is left by chance. And the education of our people cannot be left similarly to chance. There are steps that you and I, and today I welcome this opportunity, and I congratulate you for your leadership and the fact that you've taken the step into doing this concept on education program, because this is the first step. We want people to become aware this is the condition that we are in, and those conditions will not change by good people or wishful thinking. There will be change, and they can change with a deliberate approach that is called a campaign plan. And this is
all
a
right.
campaign plan that I want to engage all of our community to make.
Right. Go ahead. Yes, this is wonderful.
Yeah, and we see that when we're talking about campaign planning, we need to decide what are the people that are in that social movement with us, because we need to have a social movement about education change because this is a social movement is something that is born out of conflict and out of discontent, and there are meaningful efforts for people to change their condition. Because once we become aware of the condition that we are in, and when we see that those conditions are deliberate, they're the result of deliberate action. They're not chance. They're not by chance. Neither is because some God have declared that is the condition that we have to be in. Those are stated action by people that have the interest in seeing those conditions that we suffer to be continued. And therefore, in order to change them, we need to have deliberate response to those deliberate actions.
Yes, very, very true. I would like to ask you, how have you found in your planning, in your school, the campaign that you've had to foster this, how have you allowed these children and their parents to become active and be deliberate and taking the actions that they need for their children? How have you been successful in doing so at your school?
One of the policies of our school is to engage students and their parents and their family and their advocates into what we call learning power. In other words, the student learned that the condition that they claim to be suffering can be changed, because first you identify them, then you identify what are the cause. And our school, the name of the school is Toussaint Louverture High School for Art and Social Justice. And the art component is a way to tell the student that there is a tremendous amount of skill and value in their knowledge, and they can express that to the arts. And it is not because the student has some academic deficiency or language deficiency that make the student not qualified. We give the student the opportunity to express that their knowledge. And based upon the fact that they can express that knowledge, they become powerful. Like, we've just started a dance club in a very short time, 5 months. You see now those children are going in front of the public. They are dancing. People are applauding. They feel a sense that they are powerful and they can change the condition of their life. And we do that with a number of topics. And every year we want to add additional components of this learning that can make those children and their family learn from their own power that they have. And when we teach them the traditional dances from their ancestry, they can go back to a sense of their own power. And this power is reflected in their own pride, in the fact that they want to take steps to change those conditions. And one of those steps, they want to learn more, and they put a lot of their energies into the value that we're trying to teach them to this dance. And if you were, not that we don't want to talk to them about Shakespeare, but if you wanted to just talk to them about Shakespeare without checking them into their own soul, of their own power, which is already residing into them, you know, those are things that they brought from their ancestry. This is not thing that they learned because they just took a ride on an airplane to come into Del Rey or into anywhere in Florida. They have those ancestral energy that incorporate the values and their learning. So our school put this kind of thing out. We want the student to become prideful in their own capacity, to know that if they're going to have this kind of learning, they can use it for that. And we provide them a very safe and secure environment. And when we have students in our school, we tell them at the beginning, we are not a custodial facility, and therefore we're not afraid of students, and the students are not afraid of us. And I say that with a lot of pride. In the 13 years of running my school in Palm Beach County, I'm the only school in the county that has never hired a security guard. And I knock on wood, wishing the good fortune of the ancestors on me, continue good fortune, so nothing else could happen to overcome this good fortune that we have. But in 13 years, we told the students, this is not a custodial facility. You are not in jail here. And when you come here, you come to learn. We care for you. We will care for you. But you also need to care for the teaching staff. You need to care for the building. You need to care for the community. And by and large, we don't have many detractors. We don't have many kids that get involved. Like in every school and every foster where you have young kids doing the apprentice of adulthood, there would be some flaws. But those flaws are very easily corrected. And then the traditional courses, we make sure that the students get to learn all the theories that have to go with value in education, not just simply the thing that they have to study in order to pass the FCAT or any other test. And we find that the art-infused academic curriculum, visual, literary, media, and more, go into substantially reinforcing those feelings. And many of those students, I can see improvement in them. While many of them do not pass the test yet, but you can see the student is unfolding, is developing as a full-fledged adult, and the families support that. Because in the 13 years we've been in existence, we continue to have students coming from all over the country, or from all over the county, in order to be part of our school. We also prepare them to take the FCAT because it's a state requirement for the financing of the school. As a charter school, the state of Florida financed many of the aspects of the academic life of the school. And therefore, in exchange for this financing, we have to maintain certain standard of academic testing, and we do by and large. And we do also very innovative program to prepare our students, both for career and college. It's not just simply that every kid will be going to college. We hope that everyone will, but in case the student choose not to do this course, we try to prepare them for a career and moving into the workforce. And so we cause the student to participate in leadership classes, citizenship opportunities, and then community involvement. By and large, this is the model of what we are doing with the student.
Thank you. I think that one of the things that you said that's very powerful is that the children are engaged. They know that this is their school. You're not doing it to shuffle numbers, and you're not doing it to be a daycare. You're not going to assist them in trying to maneuver their life based on what it is that they've been told or what they think that they don't have or that they're not bright enough or they don't bring enough ability to school. You are letting them know this is your school, and wherever you are in your life, we are willing to help you. And they feel a cultural identity. That is the thing that's missing in most public schools, if not all. The children are not, and that's why I said that the school system, we have outgrown it. The thing, the population, the people, the educational level, people are more aware and interact more with different cultures than we say when the public school system was started back in the 30s. So the children that I met when I went to your school, they are so engaging, they're warm, they're respectful to each other. And I found the kind of energy or feeling of children who really wanted to be there. Of children who wanted to be there, that you didn't spend time correcting them, sending them to the principal's office, doing things that are just, it's just a waste of their time, the waste of everyone's time. And also, the interaction with the teachers and the students was something like a parent, but also a comrade. We're working as a team towards building a successful life for you, and we're giving you the tools. We want your attention, but we want your cooperation and your involvement. That's what I found in the school, is that I have worked in school systems for many, many years, and that's the thing that's lacking. When you have children that come from diverse cultural backgrounds, they have to learn, as you say, Shakespeare, but there's something wrong with that, but you have to know about Toussaint Louverture. You have to know the warriors, the heroes, the classics of your own culture, whatever that culture is. And so that's the thing that will make children hungry. I always say that you cannot teach children. That what teachers cannot teach children. You have to facilitate a place where the children want to learn. And then you have a success story.
Yeah. And again, you mentioned the right word, is collaborative learning. The teacher and the student together, and the parents and the administration, and also the collaborative learning caused the student to know. And there's a cliche that says the student don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And truly for us, it's very essential. The student know how much we care. And therefore, when we are empowering them, we are giving them responsibility. Even when they fail and we correct them, the failure is not intended to be demeaning. The failure is always as a corrective with the collaboration of the students and their parents. And this is what we seek. The school is a small environment. It's small by design because we find out that in a school that has in excess of 600-700 students, those principles may be somewhat harder to apply. They are in education reform, consistent calling for reducing the sheer number of schools to minimize overcrowding and disruption into the school environment. And so we are very fortunate to have designed a school that when we will be fully contained, we will have between 350 and 400 students. And we believe this particular number will serve the purpose for the objective that we have in mind. And the equality in education is a very essential component. And when we talk about equality, we are not just simply talking about the student have the same standard curriculum. We're talking about equality in funding. Because too often, we have things that we want to do with students that have tremendous amount of need, in addition to their real concern in school. I don't know if you're familiar or if you've heard of the program with Jeffrey Canada, the Harlem Children's Zone in New York.
Yes, yes.
And Harlem Children's Zone is a case in point where Mr. Canada, after struggling with his school in New York, and stumbled upon the idea, developed the capacity to enlarge the services that were provided to the children and their family into a zone. And it has proven right that the score of the children have improved. Their participation in going to college have improved. President Obama, a year and a half ago, has copied that model for his Race to the Top module, where he wanted to just do this and replicate this in many schools in the minority zone. But people have to also realize that as we wish that you and I, because we are people of goodwill, we are empowered by our ancestors to move into that direction to help our people. But there are also people that wish for this not to happen. And they will complain about the funding. I remember my daughter going to a school in Florida. Within the same high school, you had a tremendous amount of different educational tracks. So in the same high school, they were segregating the population of children in terms of the access that they were having to the quality of the education, to the level of the classes within the same school. So the parents that drop their kids every morning in front of that school, they're always imagining that their kids were receiving the same training, the same opportunity, and nothing could be further from the truth. Because my daughter was placed into advanced classes, and she was given a tremendous amount of opportunities. When the children of other people similar of our own background, they were left into the overcrowded class in the same high school. So and those conditions persist until today. So our people have to first become aware. Just like in the campaign planning of the military, we have set an objective. We are going to start social movement within Palm Beach County. And this movement is about changing the quality of the education opportunity that are given to our kids and our people. Because too often, once the student receives the mediocre education, is very, very difficult. Again, Frederick Douglass said, it's easier to raise young boys and girls than to fix broken men and broken women. It is costlier and is much more harder. So the opportunity for us as leaders in our community, you with the program that you have, I am so fortunate to have met you. I thank Dr. Alma every day to have led me into your path, for the work that you are doing is so essential. Then people like you should be giving a medal. People in the community should recognize the value of your work, because this is the work that is going to change the community.
Okay, thank you. We need to take a break now, Ruby.
Yes.
And then see if there. Thank you so much. Very passionate and information. I have a couple of questions when we come back. Maybe Dr. Bernadette can take some questions, and when we come back, he can address how would someone who's interested in setting up a school like yours, what would be the challenges that perhaps they would find, because many of our listeners are not in the state of Florida, but they're able to do it themselves. How did you get started? What were the challenges that you found? Two of the things that I would like to address, and how is it that the state of Florida addresses the FCAT and that in terms of the school, the age level, and that your school covers,
yes,
the number of students also that you cover. So Ruby,
yes,
can you take a break now, because there are people who are interested in finding out how to log in and how to speak to Major. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, both of you. At this time, family, I would like to say again, welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show, and thank you very much for tuning in to hear the thoughts on the concepts in education from Yaya Feeney and from Major Bernadelle. We are at our anniversary, our first year anniversary. There are really no words that we could say that will express how we feel about our family members who have gotten us to where we are today. This started a year ago as just a concept of this is what we were going to do. This is what the spirits led Yaya Feeney to do. This was in her heart. And she took that and she ran with it. It has been a terrific show. We've had a lot of great guests on the show. And just listening to her and everything that she's doing, all I can say is thank you, family. That's from really from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you very much for making this show what it is today. So, okay, let's get to the Yaya Feeney Show. Family, go to www.yayafeeney.com. You can see her books, her products, and remember, all of her products are made by her. She comes up with the ingredients. Her book, Meaningful Mondays, have different things in it where you can go in and cleansing baths. And so if you look through that, you can find what you need and then go to her website and you'll see the products that she has available. She also has classes. And we've spoken about her classes and the different things that she's doing. Her knowledge is that she gives here. It's free. She doesn't charge for you to come on and listen and gain the knowledge from her and from her guests. So, but if you find that what you hear on her show is interesting, you should definitely check out her classes. And the website is www.yeyefini.com. So go and check out her classes and look at her and find out. That way you can find out exactly what she does and what she has available. She also has a toll-free number that you can call, and she welcomes questions, comments. Her 1-800 number is 1-888-419-5848. Again.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Again, that's 1-888-419-5848. And to our family in the chat room, thank you very much for joining us. And if you have any questions at all and you don't want to call in, you're a little shy, you can type them in the chat room and I will read them on the air. And I'd like to thank you for joining us. I see we have quite a few people in the chat room. Yay! We also have several callers on the line. I see that you're on the line, that you're calling in. If you have a question, you have to push the number 1, and that way I will see your hand go up, and I'll know that you have a question for either Yaya Feeney or Major Bernadelle.
I have something. Thank you so much, Ruby. There's someone there, like 3 people that are sending me on Facebook asking me that they're listening but they cannot access the chat room. How do they log on to the chat room? Would they have
okay.
to have a
I sent out
the link. I have
a promotion on Facebook. Are you getting that on your Facebook page?
Yes, someone is saying that they don't know how to log on. So I sent it again, so perhaps that will help them. So thank you so much for helping to navigate where others can find me. And, of course, Major Bernadette will give his information as well. Are there any people in the chat room or on the line that want to ask any questions? Did anyone put the number one?
And someone in the chat room says, great discussion going on about education. I really am happy to know of the work Major Bernadette is doing in Florida. I am most interested in his integration of the arts in education. They did get online. They did get on the chat room. She said, I finally figured out how to do it.
Okay, great.
Yes. Okay.
So there are no questions? There are no questions.
There are no questions right now, no. Before you get started, also, can you give, probably tell a little bit about your upcoming events as well as Major Bernadette? In a couple of minutes, can you tell about your forum that you're having in September? As well.
Yes, the forum is right now. The exact date in September has to be determined. The forum will bring as part of our social movement to change really education in Palm Beach County. It will bring a coalition of people of interest. But really, what we want to achieve is a common interest in all African ancestry. People, because I believe if you're a black person in America or anywhere else in the world, if you're a black person, you are an African. And you may have been born someplace else. You may speak a different language. You may have a different faith, a different cultural background for the time. But if you are born, if you're a black person, man or woman, or child, adult, I believe that you are an African. And consequently, you have the same tradition, ancestral tradition. And we need to bring that focus together in Palm Beach County in order to start bringing the coalition of African people interest in order for us to help one another.
Yes, and I think that's one of the key challenges that we're having is that the children in trying to identify with who they are and where they come from sometimes negate the fact that they are African. And so you have one little group saying that they're Jamaican, another group saying that they're Haitian, another group is saying that they're Panamanian. And in the mix of it, they're losing not only their identity, but we're losing the fact that we can get funding. We have to work moving towards funding, because when we come together, our numbers increase.
Exactly.
Because when the funding goes, if the funding goes on the African-American, and it's not clear as to who are you calling African American. So if you're not clear and you're culturally deprived in the voice that you're seeking the help from, then you lose funding. You lose the money.
Yeah,
that's what,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And this is the first intent of the forum, to identify this nucleus of people in this community that want to engage into that direction of the greater African diaspora, all of us together being here and wanting to join in order to establish a common cause in the education, in the right type of education for our young people. That's
right, because we have a common thing that we must heal from. As you said, we're all African. We all have the same experience. Whatever country we come from, whatever culture we come from, that the dominant culture does not ascribe to us as African. So we have to ascribe ourselves as African. And so we have the same issues across the board in self-identity, pride, cultural identity. We have the same racial soul. So therefore, the challenges that an African from Haiti is the same cultural, racial soul, and the challenges that we will find if they're from Panama, because the dominant culture is not encouraging or even spending any kind of required funding or money or even interest in empowering the people from the diaspora. So we have to empower ourselves, but more so, we have to show the children who are coming up and feel frustrated that the adults who have the power to make a difference, to whether through vote, through action, through encouragement, through determination, are dropping the ball. And that's what we as teachers, as elders, as adults have to show these children. We have you. We have your back. We are putting things in place for you. And that's why you see the children are dropping out of school and they're on the corner not doing it, because the adults that are around them, that are in their life, whether family, friends, television, media, the people that are their support group, are not telling them that we have a plan for them. So they have to plan for themselves. With limited amount of wisdom, they plan, and of course, without wisdom, they're not going to make sound choices. So we have to definitely look at the potential, the possibility of healing us from all of the scars that we have.
This healing from this transgenerational transmission of trauma is something that all of us, as a group, we suffer from, and the denial of this transmission of trauma has caused a tremendous amount of the deficient position that we are in today. And so consequently, we must first recognize that in the colonial system that all of us have participated in, we have this particular dimension of this reality that causes us to suffer, and to suffer real pain. It is not invented pain. And a lot of the children, a lot of the adults in our community suffer from this transgenerational transmission of trauma. And this pain is real. And then until we acknowledge it as ourselves, and until we acknowledge it as a community, and we don't continue to accuse each other of bad faith, because it is true pain that these people experience. And that generational transmission of trauma has to be addressed before we can attempt to change it. And the coalition that we want to put together is for us to identify that primarily with the people of goodwill and people that wants to go into that same direction, that we can address that, we can change it. We can first cause people to say, if we don't acknowledge that, we can never change it. The first step is, you have just done that, Yefini, and I applaud you for that, is to acknowledge that particular transgenerational transmission of trauma.
Yes, because one of the things that that also I said when I went to your school, I felt and I saw we were doing a little welcoming with me with some of the dancers. They were getting ready to go to lunch, and we met with them. And in that moment, spiritually, I connected to some of the trauma, the individual trauma that some of the girls experienced. And because in my self-empowerment workshop that we have been conducting for the past 17 years, the trauma that we deal with is voices that are not heard, unanswered pain that has been misdirected and shows up in feeling that you're a victim and allows people to abuse you over and over. And so I felt that connection, and that's the coalition that I was looking for, and I felt like, oh, this is home. Where each one of us, whatever is our specialty, we have people who are certified to do work with healing through yoga, healing through rites of passage programs, healing through all types of programs. And right now, I'm just flooded with so much emotion and joy that I can't even put my hand on it. But that have so much and don't feel that there is a place for them to have an audience, or to have the students, or have the organization that will welcome it. That's why I want to work with you. That's why I welcome everyone that's listening to be a part of this coalition. I know one of the most powerful yoga masters that I know here in Florida. And she's just amazing. She is now certified to do to do yoga for people or to help veterans who have been through trauma. She's able to help students and children who have learning disabilities. Those are the types of people that we want in this coalition, so that they
yes.
can make a difference, so that they can use their skills to not only heal the community and heal us from the trauma, but also find their own self of worth. Because to have the skills and to have the passion, and you don't have a place to give this service and to find the funding, the grants that we can find, where other communities, other races can find this funding and allow the children to come with it free. This is what we want this coalition to do, is to make a difference in our community by coming together, realize that we have a common problem, which is we are of one particular racial group that is not represented on the same playing field as other racial groups, and we have to address that. And yes, thank you.
And addressing this issue will allow not only the young people, but members of our community to finally find their own voice, to be
yes.
able to say, my opinion matters. I know what I'm suffering, and therefore when I say that, people acknowledge that this is not just make-believe or this is not
sure.
pretend. It is
yes.
just something that I truly feel that has undermined my own sense of significance, my own sense of capacity within self-sufficiency. And therefore,
yes.
we need to acknowledge that. And the strategy of the yoga master that you just mentioned are things that make sure that we apply strategies that the our people can recognize. Because one of the dimensions of the inequality in social justice is the fact that the researchers that are serving the interest and the strategy of the mainstream, they are very distant scholar from the people that they claim to study. They study
Correct.
Us, but they are
Correct.
So distant from us that their strategies are unnecessary or does not apply or is not sufficient. And therefore,
Correct.
Until we can apply our own strategies and be made aware that we also have a voice in the changes that affect us, together with the other scholars that want to do strategy, we will never be able to start changing. We must acknowledge the pain, finding our voice, and become aware that our opinion matters, and the thing that we talked about should also be funded.
Yes, definitely. And also because we're taxpayers.
Yes.
So that's our right. This is our right. That's why we come to this country and work as hard, because that's what America is a melting pot of all of the cultures. It's like a calabash full of different. So we pay taxes, so that's our right. So we're not asking for favors. Every other group asks for it. We are aware of what exists and ask for it and move towards it. One thing that I wanted to say also here is that about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe longer, I had a forum like this of people of the diaspora, different healing masters, and one of them was a psychiatrist, and she informed us when she presented her paper, she said that most of the patients that she has of African descent, most of the problems that they have that go into psychotic episodes has to do with spiritual identity.
Yes.
Is their spiritual, the culture in which they come from, there is a solution for it through spiritual work, through spiritual rituals, through ceremonies. And
yes.
the psychiatric, the basis from which they're coming, as you say, is not about the culture of the people. Is the people that are addressing it are not of that culture. And so she says that most of them are just put on antipsychotic drugs, and in reality what it is that they need is spiritual counseling. And that was very, very powerful for us to have this. Thank you.
And the strategies that are being promoted by those researchers may be well-meaning, we don't know, but we know
yes.
sometimes, many times they are ineffective, and because
mm-hmm.
they fail to take into account the people whose lives we tend to study and whose illness that they want to render judgment about without having conducted the right or ask the right question. Earlier before the break, you talked to us about charter school and then how I started the charter school. In 1996, the state of Florida allowed, for the first time, the state legislature allowed individual non-profit organization, churches or other entity that were not falling under the control of the school board of any kind to open charter school. Now, there were a number of steps that you had to cover. The application was very assiduous, and the qualification step was very difficult, and we had to go to them for almost 18 months until we were able to satisfy the requirement of the state. And for the state of Florida, deferred to each county. There are 67 counties in the state of Florida, so each county were able to establish for themselves a set of protocol that regulated the funding of the charter school in their county. Because instead of giving us money directly and bypassing the county, the state of Florida committed an error into sending the money to the county board of education, and then the county then dealt with us. And the relationship that we have with each of those counties where we have charter is almost the same than if you tonight you wanted to cook chicken a la king, you know the chicken will not be interested in giving you the recipe. And so that's the,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's the relationship that we have with and they saw us in an adversarial. Many of the implementers of those policies saw us in an adversarial. When in fact we were not in an adversarial because the money had to follow the child. As we take the money from the school that this kid came to me. So if we had a school called Resident High School, and if a student went there, that money from the state followed the student to Resident High School. If the student chose to come to Tucson Liberty High School, it was normal that the money from that child follow into my school so we can provide the education. So there was some difficulty in there. And now, 1996, we are in 2013. Some of the regulations to open charter school have been tightened. There are people that find them very overbearing and almost not promoting the growth of charter school as an alternative, because what we do is give parents choice. And we say if a public school system could serve everyone's interest, we would say, okay, let the public school system stand. But we do know that there is a variety of system that parents have to be able to avail themselves, and charter school was simply one of them. And therefore, we opened up in 2001. And since then, this 13 years ago, since then, there have been a number of charter schools that have opened. Now, in the state of Florida, they are educating hundreds of thousands of children out of charter school. And some of them are good, some of them are less good, and the jury may be still out on other schools. However, it does promote the ability to have choices in education, and the money follows the child, and therefore we can provide the right environment for the student, financed by the state. But nowadays, you have more restrictive environment, and therefore to open a charter school is becoming a little bit more overbearing into the qualification. But I encourage everyone listening that have an interest in opening a charter school to call me and let me give them some information in general. But they can also go to the State Department of Education, where whatever state that they are in the United States, the State Department of Education have a charter school division, and that charter school division is a treasure trove of information that will take them from beginning to end on how they can open a charter school. The advantage of a charter school is the fact that the children in the school do not pay any money. It's free to the student, no different than any other school in that particular county. So the child and the parents, as taxpayers, do not need to pay to come to my school. However, the funding still needs to be adequately regulated, because charter school, by and large, do not receive ad valorem portion of the tax, and therefore there is still a discrepancy between what a traditional school, public school, will receive and charter school. We've been working together with a number of advocates to try to change that, because we feel that public education is becoming the civil right issue of the 21st century. Voting and all political participation may have been the emphasis in the 60s, but right now education, I think, is the issue of concern for our minority population. And I encourage everyone that's listening to this to stay in touch with Yaya Fini, to ask the question, to volunteer when you can, to participate into the work, because what we are studying here is a social movement, and this social movement is for the benefit of our people.
Yes. Thank you very, very much. We have a couple people who have been holding and have questions. Is this a good time? Sorry for interrupting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I have a couple questions in the chat room, but I also have a gentleman who has been holding for quite a while online.
Okay.
He has called in. I'm going to bring his mic up first. His name is Mr. Jesse Jackson. Mr. Jackson, you're on the Ask Yaya Fini show. You had a comment or a question?
Yes, my name is Jesse Jackson from Columbus, Ohio. I'm an educator, and I have a couple quick questions for my brother. And before I start, I'd like to say alafia to Yaya and to all those who are participating in today's show. But the first question is, I would like to know what curriculum and time management does he use in order to get in that European or Eurocentric information that the children need to know to pass state tests and to do well on the achievement tests, and with those cultural and historical information that our children also need to develop and to be strong in who they are. And the second question is, also being a co-founder of a charter school here in Ohio, I was just wondering, besides the money, the public money that the children at his school bring in, what other sources of monetary help does he get? I'd like to know if it's grants or if he has a monetary supporter. So if he can answer those two questions for me, I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Jesse. When I heard your name, I thought Reverend Jesse Jackson was calling me. I was going to say, my God, Yaya Fini invited me for one show and I'm already famous.
Well, this is
Jesse. Jesse Jackson is very famous in Columbus, Ohio, because he's been an educator for years, a strong advocate of everything that has to do with moving our children forward. He has been very instrumental in raising, birthing four children that are fantastic, and they themselves also are in education. They're also coaches and teachers. So he is famous in Columbus, Ohio. Everybody knows Jesse Jackson in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you, Baba.
Yes.
Jesse, for calling in. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh. And Jesse, now that you're finished, has described you, and I'm honored that you have called, and I love after the show maybe two years if you need to keep in contact with you to share with you some of the material because they're quite extensive. But to answer your question in terms of the curriculum, the state of Florida required that I follow the standard base, what we call the Sunshine State Standard, because as you know, as an educator, in order to accept the money from the state, there are certain goals that we have to meet, academic goals that we have to meet. We were also very fortunate in going through the state system and to get our school to be non-graded. And so therefore, we do not receive a similar grade as a traditional school. We were able to negotiate that with the state. The state had sent some individual to review what we were doing, and as a result, they made the recommendation that our school not be graded in the traditional way. So this was for us a huge victory. But one of the components of the grading system allowed the student to know and to be able to work towards passing the FCAT. The FCAT is a standard-based Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, and they have all the mandatory testing, and we do offer a wide range of electives that the student can complete in order to meet the state standard. Our students who graduate that pass the FCAT receive a traditional high school diploma, the same than any other student from the state. There are students that they take the ACT test, that if they're having difficulty to pass the standard test, if they pass the ACT test, the state gives them the opportunity to receive a standard-based diploma. And we also have a number of art-infused academic curriculum, as mentioned earlier, in the visual, literary, and media. And I would love to share those things with you at another time. But the state requires that I maintain AYP, annual yearly progress. As the student enter the school, they are then giving a pretest, and throughout the year, they are measured, and those tests have to indicate that the student is positively progressing academically. And the AYP is the standard by which the school is graded. And we are now bringing in native courses in language and culture that can identify what the student already know from coming in from a different standard-based cultural background. And those things we have discovered that many of those kids that while they age out into the traditional high school in Palm Beach County, but they bring in a tremendous amount of competency already from the native island. And therefore, we try to blend those together for the student to be able to satisfy the standard state requirement. And for 13 years, we've done this admirably. And every year, we're getting tested. We have a state inspection, both for academic performance and also for the utilization of our fund. And then I'm glad to report that in 13 years, we have always passed our standard inspection from the state, which happened one yearly. And every so often, the state of Florida will send in auditors to audit our books and our record, both for academic performance and also for finances. And we have always successfully passed that in the 13 years. And our charter has been renewed successfully for three times now. Now, in terms of the funding, this is where we have some of the issue, because as you know, every public school is funded based upon the enrollment, what we are in the business called the FTE, a full-time enrollment of students. And when my enrollment is low for the year, then the money that we receive into support from the state also is low, which requires then that I put in extra time in doing fundraising activity within our community, apply for grants in order to satisfy some of my financial requirements. In a nutshell, that's what I can tell you now. However, I would love to maintain contact with you to Yaya Fini, and perhaps I can travel to visit you, or you could travel to visit my school.
Mr. Jesse, did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Very good.
Okay.
Answer.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
All righty.
Okay. Now, we have questions in the chat room. They have actually been chatting in here. Okay. One of the questions is, how long has the school been in existence?
We opened in 2001, and so we are entering our 13th year of operation.
Okay. The next thing says...
Ruby, can you do me a favor also? When you get a chance in between, can you read some of the comments that they're sharing in the chat room, okay?
Yes, that's what I'm doing now.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It says, has the major considered the number of African-Americans in the prisons of the U.S.? How is that reflected in the curriculum taught in his school? Are students made aware of current affairs, i.e. recent Supreme Court decisions?
Part of our social justice curriculum involves not only a general definition of social justice, which is very hard to arrive at, because even harder to implement, because depending on who you are, people will have a different definition of social justice. But the school is a school about, I think we are the only high school in the United States that is have that the definition and this magnet of social justice as a high school. It is concerned with equal justice, not just in the court, but in all aspects of society. The concept demands that people have equal rights and opportunity. Everyone from the poorest person on the margin of society to the wealthiest deserves an even playing field. This is what we constantly battered around for the children to understand. And one of the social justice issues is the number of minority people that are incarcerated. From my last reading, I believe within the United States, we have the highest incarceration rate of minority group from all advanced countries. So those are some of the discussion that we have with the students in our school.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes. Okay. Another comment is a question, actually. Is there a component of environmental education also included in the school's curriculum?
We have not gone into environmental regulation yet, but there is a lot of green industry discussion. And now we are contemplating finally being able to build our own building, and we are going to engage once we get to the plan, we are going to engage the student into designing the green environment that will make the school perhaps an LED building, and we hope the student and the parent will participate in the design.
Oh, wonderful. And so with this the coalition that we're having, perhaps the person that asked the question, if they have any information, they may be able to direct some of that information to us in helping us to move forward with the green.
I would love that. That would be so welcome.
Okay. It says, I agree with Major on the need to acknowledge the multi-generational level of trauma experienced by Africans on the continent and in diaspora.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It says we definitely need a healing as a people, and it also says, how can we become part of the coalition if we live outside of the United States?
In fact, we want to have people living outside the United States, because those kind of issues are being debated almost everywhere in the world. In terms of if you look at the Arab Spring revolution, it's still about the same kind of suffering that people are, while they're from a different cultural makeup, but then this is still the inequality, the social injustice that those people are with their present condition. The issue that's happening in the Palestinian land, you see the same kind of dimension of those issues of discussion that need to be resolved. People everywhere are asking for social justice, and therefore we will welcome the opportunity for people to contribute online.
And one of the things that in the forum, we will have a capacity for people that want to intervene online, for people to have contribution online during the exercise of the forum. So yes, we welcome the opportunity for people to participate online.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
Are there any other questions?
No, that was it. There, that was the only comments and questions that they had in the chat room. Major, will you please give your contact information? And can you do it slowly? The shows are archived. That way people
yes.
go back, and we have a lot of listeners who aren't able to listen on a Sunday, so they do go back and listen to our shows. So if you could give the information slowly, please.
Yes. Again, my name is Major Joseph Bernadel, B-E-R-N-A-D-E-L, Bernadel. And my address, you can contact me, is Gabe Bernadel, T-L-H-S, one word, at AOL.com. It's J for Joseph, Bernadel, my last name, T-L-H-S, the acronym of the school, to send over to high school, at AOL.com. J Bernadel, T-L-H-S, at AOL.com. The phone number where you can contact me is 561-654-1048. 561-654-1048. And I am located in Palm Beach County, Florida.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I am Yaya Feeney? Are you
yes,
there?
I'm listening.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Are you? Can you tell the family a little bit about the classes that you hold? I know that there's one coming up, actually on the 9th of July. Is that correct?
Yes. I am actually trying to get it.
Oh, I'm,
I
apologize. I'm sorry.
Do you have it in front of you? You have it in front of you?
I don't, but I can pull it up.
Okay, while you're pulling it up. Well, I have ongoing classes, of course, and some of the things that I will be working with and collaborating with Major is actually to bring spiritual healing, through the SEW program, the Self-Empowerment Workshop Series that I've been offering, as I said, for the past 17 years. And it has been a very powerful program in that the participants are able to, sometimes for the first time, connect to some of the spiritual healing on a cellular level of some of the trauma that not only themselves but their ancestors have experienced, and that they still have it within their own psyche. And so the SEW program is something that I have been passionate about in helping others to overcome molestation, abuse, neglect, racial insecurity. And so that program, my dream and my aspiration, my hope and my intention is that we will be able to have funding, find the funding to heal these young people through the SEW initiation that we do. It's a wonderful program. And we have ongoing classes on my website. You can find it under yayafeeney.com. And hit the tab that says IIASK. That is the International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge. If you hit that tab, the IIASK, you see the teachers. We have teachers in four different major cities that conduct these classes. And through the classes, you're able then to come to the 7-day initiation or ceremony of connecting through ritual, through ceremony, through the ancestors walking through you and possessing you and allowing you to heal some of the trauma that traditional medicine, traditional understanding has not began to tap into the power of the spirit, and using African methodology, African ancient systems of doing. So that's one of the things that I am looking forward to working with the children, with the young people, and with their parents, because as a whole, we all are suffering from the same trauma. The classes, I have ongoing classes of sharing information on particular religion or spiritual system that I am. I am a Yoruba Lukumi priestess, and I have ongoing classes of people who have just become involved or seeking information, and I give classes on some of the historical as well as the social information that can help them maneuver through a new religious system or new practice that many are coming from either Islam or Christianity or other religious practices. So I do offer that. I also offer spiritual consultations, readings on an ongoing basis, and for that you will go into my website to find. Sometimes you want to find out information about that affecting yourself or your children or your family, and you know that there's something missing and you don't know what it is, and spiritual consultation can help you to really understand and see that most of the things that you have been looking for, you already have the answer to. And what we do and what I would do in a reading is to help you to have a clear playing field of knowing what are the choices that you are able to do and what are the responsibilities that go with them and what are the challenges with it, so that you can embrace whatever decision you make. Also, in my readings or my consultations, spiritual divination, I also offer remedies. I'm an herbalist, and I offer healing through herbs, through different ceremonies. I've been a priestess for 43 years. I've been doing the same modality for hundreds and thousands of people, and that's one of the major things that I do, is to help to shift energy from feeling that you're a victim to knowing that you have everything within you to solve all of the challenges that you have. Sometimes you just need to access spirit from outside through herbs, through a class, through a bath, through some process that you may have, a ceremony of engulfing your spirit or reminding your spirit how to connect to your divine self. And so the class that is coming up on the 9th, do you have it up? Ruby?
Ruby? Yes, I'm here.
Do you have the one that's coming up on the 9th?
It's the Aberisha class.
Aberisha class.
Aberisha
on
2nd Tuesday.
Right, that's to help those people who have become involved in traditional African religion, Yoruba in specific, Lukumi in specific, and are seeking more information as to the why, the how, and the when ceremonies are, and different things are applied, or their experience, different things that you may experience. I also have a class on mediumship training for people who have the ability to see spirits or to see the unknown or to feel them or to hear them. And because we are not educated to the degree where we can use it, sometimes it becomes a detriment to us. And so those are some of the classes. But feel free to go to my website, yayafini.com, for the ongoing classes and the ceremonies and public events that we have, where we invite the public. Very few that we invite the general public, because we believe that when we enter into a sacred space, everyone that comes should be prepared to acknowledge and to recognize when spirit is moving, because it's not something that you come because you want to be curious, or you come because you are not aware of what's going on. So we like to, the people who are invited to most of our public events have had classes or have had some kind of interaction with some of the priests in the International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge, where we have over 30 priests that are practicing on an ongoing basis. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, yes, and I have a question for you, and I'm going to ask the Major Bernadelle the same question. But you sound very... very, I'm listening to both of you, and you sound very passionate about educating people and educating our young people. We have about 25 minutes here. Can you tell us why? What drives this passion in you?
Well, for me, the thing that drives me is I've always been the type of person that whatever happens to me in the moment, I may get upset, angry, whatever, but I always connect to what is the reason that this is happening, and can I make a difference by sharing what I found out with others? I've always been that type of child, even as a child, that was me. If I find something that works or that is good and make people feel happy, I'm ready to share it willingly. And the thing that drives me in terms of the educational piece here is that when I came to this country at 13 years old and I was given a test to enter the eighth grade, I was, because I couldn't write or read English, but I spoke English, I was placed in a class for children with learning disabilities. And so that just crushed me. It was my entire education from the eighth grade until I graduated from high school. I was always struggling to fit in as well as to understand academically what was going on around me. That for me was a major in that I was misplaced because of one criteria that somehow the tests were not geared toward children like myself. And that's what Major is addressing. In that struggle that I had in junior high school and in high school to fit in academically as well as socially, I later found myself doing things that would have some way of impacting myself culturally. I got involved with everything that had to do with the African understanding of everything that was African. I wore African clothes. I went to a black school. I got involved with Pan-African institutions. My family were not avid readers, and so I became an avid reader because I wanted to know what is wrong with me. Why is it that I feel like this? And so I started reading books that connected me to the spirit that lives within me, but also the spirit that connects African people together. So the passion that I have for education is that every child should be allowed to really display who they are, not based on the numbers and not based on a curriculum that somehow they fall in between the gaps. And in the second reason for the passion for the education piece is that when I raised my children in an African village, I saw the value of my children knowing who they were from kindergarten. Well, we didn't have kindergarten. We started them in the first grade at 7. I saw the power that my children had when they left that school system, because I moved from the African village and went into the traditional junior high school. My children experienced the same thing that I did. Where I came to America in middle school, my children came to live in the traditional Western society in Charlotte, North Carolina, in junior high school. And I saw the confidence and the pride and the power that they had in knowing who they were, because everything in the African village was raised from an African perspective. You know African history back and forth. You know geography, everything, science, everything based from an African perspective. So when my children got to high school and in junior high school, they had a sense of confidence and power that they knew who they were. So because of that, they have excelled. They excelled to their master's program. One is doing a PhD. They have been very successful in that they didn't get lost in the shuffle because they knew who they were. They were able to compete on any playing field, any material that was presented to them. They were able to look at it from a cultural perspective, from a social perspective, and from an academic perspective. So they stepped into this Western understanding, Western curriculum, blazing, and they all graduated with honors and did very, very well. So that's the passion that I have. Is I had to take my minus and made it a plus. I made it a plus in that I choose not to have my children. I left New York with my infant baby and moved to the African village and ended up getting married there and having two other children. And I made it my mission to educate my children from an African perspective first and then turn them over to the educational system of America where they were able to go to college and to graduate school and to move on. So that's the two things that have made me very passionate. And I believe that every child is my child. Every child that I meet, I'm always interested in exactly what's going on with them. Not necessarily academically, that's good, but what's going on with them socially? What is the thing that's making them feel good about themselves, and what is the thing that making them feel insecure and frightened that they can't play on the same level feel as everyone else? And most of the time I find it's because there's a cultural imbalance that they're bringing that they don't have. And that's why you have to, if you're an African, you have to have African art in your home. You have to have traditional practices that you have in your home and infuse it in everything that you do so that when your children step out into the world, they know that when they come home, who they are. They can be part of the world, but they know exactly what is the thing that's feeding them, what is at their root, so that wherever they go, no one can tell them that they can't learn because of some disadvantage. No. And that's my passion.
Wow, this is fantastic. And if I could ever have read or heard anything any different, I honor you for what you just declared, and I really want to thank you, Yaya Fini, for the distinct privilege of being your guest today. I want to thank Ruby and the people, that the listeners in the chat room, Mr. Jackson, that have taken the time to call, and we want to continue the contact with the listeners so we can just change the condition. Today I claim my power as an African, and in order to help the condition, to change the condition of my people. And therefore, my passion comes from serving my mother, the woman whom I love the most, being head of a school in Haiti, my father being also a teacher for a long time in Haiti. And I acquired this. My travel with the United States military have given me the opportunity to observe a number of societies in which many people did not have access to education or traditional education or quality education. And I saw the end result of the societies. And I believe that there is no way we can pretend to having a democratic system truly if at first we don't have the most of our citizens or all the citizens having the privilege of a decent education. I believe this was one of the conditions that had been stated by Aristotle as he was describing the condition for democratic society. The first one was access to a good education. Racial inequality persists in funding and access to decent school in America, and we need to acknowledge that, and we need to find ways to change it. And school facilities, qualified teachers, culturally and linguistically responsive curriculum, college preparatory curriculum. We need to have the same thing for our students and for our young people. Then the only way we're going to change that is not by wishful thinking. We need to have this social movement that we started here tonight within Palm Beach County in order to identify the people and the objectives that we want to see change. Once we have identified the social movement, we need to organize as a grassroots community. And it's only through our organizing skill that we will be able to bring the coalition that we need. And each of us have to develop strong relationship, because relationship with the people who matter is power, is social capital. And we need as a group to be able to do that and identify the social relationship. Then we need to understand that the conditions that affect us are not here simply because they're the end result of chance. They are deliberate, and as they are deliberate, our action to respond to those causes have to also be deliberate. And we need to take action as a group, as a whole, not as individual. Too often, as Yaya Fini mentioned earlier, they sought to separate us, to identify us as separate different groups, and we have fallen
for the subterfuge, and we've been victimized. We are a people of struggle. We acknowledge that. But as we struggle, we also have power. I recommend to everybody listening, reading the book about learning power, Organizing for Education and Social Justice, is by Jenny Oakes and John Rogers with Martin Lipton. It is a good book for people learning power, organizing for education and justice. And it's just been released by Jenny Oakes and John Rogers. And we cannot. And more recently, Dr. Armand is releasing her book, Healing in the Homeland. And this is a book that's coming in on Amazon.com. Yaya Fini is familiar with the book. I recommend that we seek to look at this book as one of the essential, a seminal work that in the work of trying to heal from this transmission of trauma. We have to also go back to our spiritual roots to solve the current problem. Too often, people have tried to separate us from our roots and the spiritual roots that Yaya Fini talks so eloquently about in order to address our current problem. I believe in just using the spiritual gift, we can deal with many of our current problems. I am very happy to have been on this show this evening. I feel privileged to have been able to have this opportunity, and I seek continued collaboration with all involved for the purpose of bringing a better day for our people. And a better day they've been waiting for a long time. And this is the moment, and we need to seize it and change the direction of education. First in Palm Beach County, and when we're done in Palm Beach County, maybe in the nation and in the rest of the world.
Yes, I share to that, because it is time. It is time. The challenge that we're having now is with education. That's the one piece that we're lacking that will mend, that will bring everything together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Major, for your insight. Definitely, Dr. Armand's book is a must for every home. It is a must. So for please feel free to contact her on Marguerite Armand on Facebook, as well as you can get her information through me or through Major Bernadette.
Which is Marguerite Mitchell.
Spell it for us, please.
And Marguerite is MarGaret Mitchell, MITCELL Armand, ARMAND, Healing in the Nation with Dr. Margaret Mitchell Armand. And on Facebook, you can all go to Yaya Fini, or you can go on Amazon.com and put in her name and log on and then look at the book and purchase it.
Yes, definitely. That's one of the ones that we definitely have to have as a textbook for the parents and for the staff. That anyone that's healing the minds of our children has to know the historical background that we're coming from, so we can move forward. And that's what this book is about. It helps us to make that easy transition, because you don't know where you're going if you don't know your path. You have to and understand some of the reasons why the things happen to us. We cannot hold our head down in shame or say that our children we're losing our children. And hang ourselves and say that we're not obligated to do something about it. We must do something about it. It is our responsibility. It is our duty, because these are the children that are going to take care of us. This is the baton that we're leaving for them. So we have to ask ourselves, what steps are we taking to be aware and make a change with deliberate action for the education of our children? It has to be deliberate. We know that it has to be deliberate. This is not by chance or by praying or by marching. It is by deliberate action. And all of the above can be used. But we have to have a deliberate action towards moving it. So thank you so much.
Exactly. And then we want to also declare that we are speaking our voice, because our voice matters, and we will no longer remain silent.
Ashe, we can't. Because when you're silent, someone else takes your power. Once you're engaged and involved, then we become a force to be reckoned with. And we come from that. We come from warriors. We come from survivors. We come from fighters, and we are able to do it. And our children have to see this. Our children have to look in our faces and see the hope, the confidence that we have in them, and organize for them. We are no longer saying that we're leaving the education of our children to others. We cannot do that. And so we must embrace it, take the responsibility, take the baton. Thank you so much. Are there any questions or anything anyone would like to say? We have 15 minutes left.
I don't have any questions at this time, and we have just over 9 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Oh, 9 minutes. Oh, okay.
We have a little time left. One of the things that I wanted to mention, parents, I find that a lot of parents don't go up to their schools to find out how their children are doing or exactly what is being taught to their children. And they don't teach what they feel their child should know at home. Do you have anything? I know you mentioned the book. What suggestions would you make for parents who just aren't aware or don't know what the child should know, or what or how to teach them what they feel they should know, or even teach them about their culture? I know this is probably a long answer. We don't have that much time, but what do you think? What suggestions do you have for parents?
It's a very good question, but I believe that the parents know truly the situation of their children in their home and in the school.
You're breaking up.
Say that I believe that parents know that the condition in their home before we tell them, because they live those conditions constantly, and they know things have to change. What they may not have decided is how to organize, and this is the forum in which we want to give them the opportunity to learn how to organize, what are the skills that are required, because we believe that once they know that, they will be the best speaker for their own condition. But I remain certain that they are aware of the condition of the children, of the family, and they know what they need to do. They are not aware on how to go about doing it. And this is what this forum and the continued work from Yeye Fini is going to teach them. Parents are also involved in making a living. There are economic realities that they sometimes cannot escape. The decision to just be able to pay to support. If we find out that while they have the knowledge of what's going on, then the both here and in any country where they come from, they are very much aware of the condition, the economic realities, and sometimes that caused them to just simply not be able to continue into this fight. But this forum is just about that. And now when we start in September, this is the kind of thing that we are going to do, that we want to do, is to inculcate that information, the strategies that we can implement in order to bring the parents to mobilize, to be actively participant, and then to have their voice be heard. And those are the strategies that I hope that all of us and that are participating in this forum will commit to see being implemented. We have not remain silent.
Yes, I am committed to being involved with the forum and to tell everyone and to share
with everyone the date and the time of the forum, but I will also like to ask you if you would like to join us again on the show at another time, closer to September, so that we will be able to have some clear steps into exactly what to expect, where it is, and that type of thing. Would you be interested in being a guest again on our show to get into a deeper discussion?
I would be more than happy to be on the show, and I believe that the work that we are doing will use this forum that you have provided us as an element of bringing people together. And once we have all the detail of the forum organized, then we'll be more at liberty to say when, where, and how, and then it would be the first step into organizing. But we cannot change what we don't organize to change. We cannot change it alone. My voice, your voice, while they can be heard and they are powerful, but against what we face, we need a coalition of people of goodwill, people that are that have the same interest, and we need coalition with people also outside of our own realm. These people that have the heart is not going to be a coalition with just us, because we will not be able to change things if other people are also not part of that coalition. This is a coalition that will reach out to people of goodwill and to bring about a change, and because their interest is the interest of the country, the county, and the community, and the interest of the nation. And as we seek to engage those people, and we will bring to them reason and incentive why a change for the better is a change for all of us, not just a change for Africans.
Yes, very, very true. Very, very well stated. I'm happy that you said it, because we don't live in a vacuum. We may have a common problem and may need a common solution, but we need the interest and the fingers and the hands of everyone, because this is a nation. We live in an entire nation of people of different variety of races, cultures, and that's where our children are going to live. So we have to have the support, as well as not only their support, but their involvement, because we're doing it so that we would all be able to be cohesive in getting along. Thank you so much for this opportunity for us, Major Bernadel. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us and to share the information. I am just so honored that this is the anniversary show. This is the type of show that I have been wanting to have in the direction. This is the direction that I've been going little by little, by having guests that are able to help us to heal one by one, finding what it is that we have of value, what it is that the Creator has gave us specifically for us, but we owe it to everyone to share. So thank you so much for sharing your passion, your dedication, and your commitment, because a lot of people may speak about what we need to do for our youth and what we need to do for ourselves. But when I find someone that is actually doing the work and has been doing it for 13 years, quietly, bit by bit, doing the work, I take my gele off to you. My head tie, I take it off to you, because you are an inspiration. As an educator, you inspire me. As a friend, you inspire me. You make me know that everything that I have been doing is a part of the solution. I know that it's a part of the solution. I'm just happy that I've met you and that we will be moving forward. I will do everything in my power so that we can get these children, get this world, get this state of Florida and the entire United States back on track as to the importance and the shifting of the educational system. Thank you so much.
I thank you. Privilege to have been on this show.
Thank you so much. And thank you, my listeners, for the support over the years, over 36,000. Thank you so much to those who are listening in archives that email me later and ask for readings or different things. We thank you for that. Dr. Bernadel, who is the healer of our people, of our children, please give your contact info again, your email address, and your phone number, please.
Yes, my email address, again, is jbernadel@aol.com, and my number is 561-654-5000. 1048.
Yes, and my number is 1-888-419-5848. Feel free to go to my website, yayafini.com, and feel free also to go to find the information on the Tucson Liberature High School for Arts and Social Justice in Delray Beach, Florida. Tucson Liberature High School of Arts and Social Justice in Delray Beach, Florida. So feel free to reach out, link up, and we will see you again on the first Sunday of August. Thank you, Ruby, for always being there and doing the work of my, being my backbone, my fingers, and my hands.
Thank you very much. And family, thank you. We know that you could be doing
thank
a lot
you.
Of different things with your time. So thank you very much thank for you. Joining us, and have a very blessed week.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.